Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Jeffrey Pfeffer's Dying for a Paycheck: How Modern Management Harms Employee Health and Company Performance and What We Can Do About It, is a research-based business and workplace health critique published in 2018. Drawing on organizational behavior research, public health evidence, and corporate examples, Pfeffer argues that many familiar management practices inflict preventable physical and psychological harm on workers: long hours, insecure employment, weak autonomy. Work-family conflict, layoffs, and inadequate benefits are presented not as unavoidable costs of competition, but as choices that often undermine the firms making them. The book's central purpose is therefore twofold: to make the human costs of contemporary work visible, and to challenge the assumption that employee well-being conflicts with financial performance. Pfeffer frames the alternative as human sustainability: organizations should preserve employees' capacity to remain healthy, productive, and engaged over time. Addressed to managers, employees, and policymakers, the book combines a moral argument about the conditions of work with an economic argument about turnover, health costs, engagement, and organizational effectiveness. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, toxic workplaces create a lose-lose system rather than a performance advantage. Pfeffer's defining claim is that harmful workplaces are not merely ethically questionable. They are often operationally irrational. Conventional management sometimes treats intense pressure, lean staffing, and employment insecurity as tools for extracting more effort or lowering costs. The book disputes that logic by connecting such conditions to disengagement, absenteeism, turnover, reduced commitment, and health-related costs. In this account, a company may appear to save money by limiting benefits, keeping headcount low, or asking people to remain constantly available, while shifting much larger costs into medical spending, replacement hiring, lost knowledge, and impaired performance. The important analytical move is to reject a simplistic trade-off between worker welfare and business results. Pfeffer does not claim that every job can be stress-free or that all pressure is harmful. Rather, he focuses on persistent, poorly designed conditions in which demands exceed employees' resources and control. When those conditions become normalized, organizations can confuse visible short-term output with genuine long-term effectiveness. This makes workplace health a management issue, not a private problem for individual employees to solve after hours. By locating the consequences in organizational systems, the book challenges leaders to evaluate whether their practices truly create value once human costs are counted. Secondly, job design, hours, autonomy, security, and work-family conflict shapes health. The book directs attention away from isolated bad managers and toward recurring features of job design. Long and unpredictable hours can disrupt sleep, exercise, relationships, and recovery. Work-family conflict extends the burden beyond the workplace because employees must continually choose between organizational demands and responsibilities outside work. Economic insecurity, including the fear associated with layoffs or precarious employment, produces a different but related strain. People may remain in unhealthy settings because losing a job also threatens income, health coverage, and future prospects. Pfeffer also emphasizes autonomy. A demanding role is not experienced in the same way when employees have meaningful discretion over priorities, schedules, and methods of completing work. Low control can make high demands especially damaging because workers bear responsibility without possessing the authority or resources to manage it. These factors are mutually reinforcing rather than separate checklist items. An employee who faces heavy workload, little control, unstable employment, and continual digital availability has few opportunities to recover or alter the situation. This systemic framing explains why individual resilience is an incomplete answer. Better outcomes require changes to staffing, expectations, scheduling, decision rights, and protections, not simply advice that employees should cope more effectively with conditions they did not create. Thirdly, wellness programs cannot compensate for the conditions that make employees sick. A major distinction in dying for a paycheck is between treating unhealthy behavior and preventing the work conditions that encourage it. Pfeffer is skeptical of organizations that promote wellness through screenings, fitness incentives, meditation offerings, or educational campaigns while leaving excessive workload, insecurity, and lack of control intact. Such programs may provide limited support, but they can misidentify the source of the problem when stress is built into the work itself. The book links workplace strain to behaviors often regarded as personal failings, including poor eating habits, smoking, excessive alcohol use, and other harmful coping responses. Its point is not to deny personal agency. It is to show that behavior is shaped by the environment in which people work. A program that asks exhausted employees to make healthier choices while preserving schedules that eliminate sleep and time for meals or exercise. It addresses symptoms more than causes. The alternative is a culture of health leaders should design jobs and norms so that physical and psychological well-being are compatible with doing the work. This approach changes accountability. Human resources initiatives cannot be the sole custodians of wellness if operating leaders establish deadlines, staffing levels, responsiveness norms, and incentive systems. Health becomes an outcome for which management decisions are examined alongside revenue, quality, and productivity. Fourthly, the gig economy and cost shifting expose the risks of precarious employment. Pfeffer places modern workplace harm within a broader shift toward insecurity and the transfer of risk from organizations to individuals. Contract work, contingent employment, and other forms of precarious work can offer flexibility for some people, but they may also bring unstable income, weak benefits, limited paid leave, and reduced protection against illness or disruption. The book's concern is not that every non-traditional work arrangement is inherently damaging. It is that arrangements become hazardous when firms retain control over work while avoiding responsibilities historically associated with employment. This pattern illustrates cost-shifting savings recorded by the organization may reappear as financial strain, deferred care, stress, or unpaid recovery time for workers and their families. Similar dynamics arise when employers offer minimal health coverage or respond to uncertainty through repeated layoffs. A narrow accounting system may classify these decisions as efficient because direct labor costs declined. Pfeffer asks readers to consider their wider effects, including damaged health, lower trust, diminished loyalty, and public costs borne outside the firm. The implication is that workplace well-being cannot be understood solely as a matter of individual employer preference. Benefits, labor protections, healthcare arrangements, and norms around vacation and time off influence the options available to workers. Consequently, the book includes a role for public policy as well as corporate reform. Lastly, human sustainability requires measurement, leadership accountability, and structural reform. Pfeffer's proposed response is captured by the term human sustainability. Like environmental sustainability, it asks whether an institution preserves rather than depletes a vital resource over time. In this case, the resource is not an abstract pool of labor, but the health, energy, and capacity of people doing the work. The concept is deliberately stronger than a commitment to employee satisfaction. It requires leaders to treat health consequences as relevant evidence when judging policies on staffing, compensation, insurance, schedules, layoffs, and managerial conduct. Measurement is central to this position. Organizations commonly track financial results and operational outputs with precision, yet may not systematically assess stress, health effects, turnover patterns, or the drivers of work-family conflict. Measuring these outcomes does not solve them automatically, but it makes hidden costs harder to dismiss. The book also argues for external pressure and public recognition. Companies that create genuinely healthier workplaces should be visible, while harmful practices should not be insulated by attractive branding or superficial perks. Corporate examples such as Aetna are used to illustrate that higher wages, stronger benefits, and supportive practices can coincide with lower stress and reduced health-related costs. Still, the broader lesson is not to copy a single program. Sustainable reform demands alignment between stated values and the everyday systems through which work is allocated, evaluated, and rewarded. In conclusion, Dying for a Paycheck is most useful for executives, line managers, human resources leaders, occupational health professionals, labor and public policy students, and employees seeking a systemic explanation for why work can become harmful. Managers will find a direct challenge to the belief that people-intensive cost-cutting, constant availability, and insecurity are necessary components of high performance. Employees and advocates will gain language for distinguishing ordinary job pressure from organizational conditions that repeatedly erode health and recovery. The book's practical value lies less in a universal managerial formula than in its insistence that leaders examine the design of work itself, workload, control, staffing, benefits, compensation, time demands, and the consequences of instability. What differentiates Pfeffer's book from more conventional workplace wellness or productivity titles is its uncompromising connection between organizational choices, public health consequences, and business performance, rather than centering personal resilience, happiness techniques, or isolated perks. It argues that wellness efforts have limited credibility when the underlying workplace remains toxic. It also differs from purely moral critiques of exploitative work by making a sustained economic case firms can damage their own performance when they damage their people. The volume can feel dense because it relies heavily on research and accumulated examples, and readers looking for a light, step-by-step management manual may find it demanding. Yet that evidence-driven approach is also its strength. Dying for a Paycheck frames employee health as a core test of whether an organization's model is genuinely sustainable. If you would like to support Jeffrey Pfeffer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.